Amen.
I have to warn you, today's reading is one of the longest readings I've ever heard from the pulpit here. It's actually 3 pages long, so buckle in. Fortunately, it is an exciting story, and hopefully the pastor will shorten her sermon because of the length of the reading.
Amen.
But this is a story of consequences. Consequence of Israel forsaking its God, and the consequences of 4 young men who demonstrate tremendous faith even while in exile. From the story, the people of God living in Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah refused to be faithful. In 586 BC, God finally allowed the Babylonian Empire to destroy Jerusalem. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing every aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Menash, and to Azara Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defy himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azara, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nursed than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azara. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters of his entire kingdom. All assembled for the dedication of the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, All the nations and people of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews who you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers of his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
That was the abbreviated version. I know, right? Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Is this working? Okay, so Daniel lived under three different kings, and so there's a lot of stories to tell, right? But here's the parts that I hope that we hear. One, he was chosen from the Israelite family by the king to study and to live under his rule, and Daniel endured. He adapted, and yet with what mattered the most, he stood firm. He stood firm in his upbringing, in his devotion to God. It's pretty amazing to hear the stories of the fiery furnace, right? And the unscorched, unharmed men that emerged from it with God's help. It's almost more amazing to picture a man sitting in a den of lions without so much as a broken nail. Because Daniel later gets thrown in a den of lions and they don't even eat him up. Their mouths close and they sit quietly. Yeah, and he comes out unharmed. But to get the full effect of these stories, you'd have to watch what happens to the characters in the story that were with them. The guards that were charged with tying up and throwing those three men into the furnace, and the people that were tossed into the lion's den after Daniel emerged. They were burnt up, their bones were crushed. The ones that were following the king's orders, the ones that were looking to entrap Daniel, they were the ones that lost their life. Thank you, Jim, for reading these stories for us today. I always try to have a shorter version of the whole chapter for us to hear in worship. But this chapter holds so many ideas, and if we were to read it all, it would take 20 minutes instead of 10. So we narrowed it down to what you heard today. But it's difficult because there's so much wisdom in this book of hearing about Daniel and his three companions who were struck to continue to follow God, even when it was inconvenient, when it was less tasty, and when it was life-risking. I hope that when you leave here today, you'll carry with you a respect for Daniel and for those like him, that do what they can to assimilate, to learn customs, to do their part, but will not give up on their core belief in God. That will not give up on their core belief in God. I'm reminded of a classmate from high school that fasted as part of her spiritual practice. She still came and sat with us in lunch every day. She was afraid to ask for a special provision to not come. And so she sat with us and she watched us eat. And people picked on her. And they asked her why she didn't eat. Some people even tried to make their food look irresistible in front of her. Yeah. In my day, if a student, especially a female, was not eating lunch, it raised great concern. And I remember adults talking to her and checking in on her. But I also remember how she didn't let her fasting intentionally draw attention to herself. She didn't act hungry or weep. But she stayed committed to the practice. Daniel and his three companions, they tried to do the same thing. They were asking to not be served the main dish that was being brought by the king, the lavish meal that was being accompanied with the king's wine. They were asking instead to go with the diet that they knew would sustain them, vegetables. And after being made aware of the fear and the potential consequences, Daniel made a plan with the guard appointed to care for them. Like Jim said, they got a trial for 10 days. And it was so. After those 10 days, they were as fit, if not more. They were as healthy, if not more healthy. They were as awake and knowledgeable as all the rest. It was important to Daniel, enough important to him, that he was not going to change all of his customs if he didn't have to. He needed to work within his parameters, but he learned the boundaries of his assignment and did a good job. And all the while, he continued to worship God. Both lively and potentially very graphic and life-ending stories in this chapter were scenes caused by people not wanting Daniel to excel or to worship his God. In our current time, we might find that idea incomprehensible or difficult to understand. We're raised right now in a time that we are to love our neighbor, that we're to to let others believe, to let others practice their beliefs, to not interfere unless it's causing harm. We are invited these days to walk with each other, and sometimes that means walking on tiptoes as to not offend another with our own spiritual practices. We're asked to do our best to stay true to God without upsetting the system or our neighbors. And yet, you still have come to worship today, to worship God, to learn about God, to enhance your faith, to be stronger in your own understanding. You have come to gather, to pray, to support, to walk together. Most of the time, we don't risk being destroyed or pulverized or being eaten by lions when we worship God. And yet some are. Some are that scared. And so what will we do? What will we risk if we are no longer given this choice? Daniel was wise. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azur were too. They allowed themselves to be renamed Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were wise. When the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the astrologers could not answer the king about his dream, they asked for more time, and they went to God in prayer. They did not let even those wise men of the king's culture die. They protected God's people, whether like them or not, and they met God in prayer. They prayed for wisdom, not to preserve their own life, but to preserve life. Last week, I invited us to consider that maybe it was time to take a little pause, if we haven't yet already, and to consider what we need to continue this journey of faith through the story, right? Because we're only about a little over halfway through. I asked you and I to consider how we could show love and to serve our neighbors, how we could be ambassadors of hope and follow the prompts that the Holy Spirit gives us into ways that lead to life. If you haven't yet had a chance, would you try that this week? Would you take a few minutes and ponder, reflect, pray? Ask God how we could be ambassadors of love and light. How we could try to understand, accompany, and listen for God in the voices of others. In addition to that, I'd like you to consider what Daniel's story might teach us today. I was reminded it would be safest for me, for all of us, if we just read the text or had Jim read us the text today and then said amen and moved on. Because just as I suspected when reading this text in today's culture, it can feel a bit strong. Here's a quote. There can be no such thing as a non-political reading of Daniel. If it is to be true to the living spirit of Scripture and to the suffering of those who wrote it under the inspiration of a God who first delivered slaves from Pharaoh. If you read it, it will have a political meaning. Daniel calls people of faith to just such a treason against the rule of the powerful, a treason based on loyalty to the rule of God. Those are words of Daniel Smith Christopher, who wrote in the New Interpreter's Bible Commentary. He suggests that pastors should be careful when introducing Daniel into their parishioners' lives, that we might find significant parallels with the life of alienated people, because Christians know that they live in Babylon and not in the kingdom of God. This text might be too much for us. Right? VeggieTales didn't think so, though. They took it and they made a great movie. Do you know this one? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the chocolate bunny? Yeah. If not, look it up. They refused to worship that chocolate bunny. Yeah. Just like I don't really want you to worship this beautiful sheepy. Right? But what do we do? As people who know that we live in Babylon and not the kingdom of God, how do we handle those encounters we have on a daily basis that remind us of where we live and the people around us that push our faith in Christ and sometimes pushes it against culture? Do we just come and read or listen to scripture on Sunday? And then are we able to actually spend a whole week trying to live it out, right? Like the Vacation Bible School slogan was this year. We have to learn it so we can live it out. How do we justify, rationalize, and live out the call that we, like Jeremiah, like Daniel, like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azir, had from God on their lives, when the world around us seems so unfamiliar and such an unsafe place to do so? Here's what I think. I think that we aim to behave like Daniel, that we point not to our own ability, but to naming God as the one who can decipher dreams. When he deciphered the king's dream, the king said, "Who can do this? What man?" And he said, "Not any man, but God. And here's what God told me." I think we try to be like Daniel, that we save weary souls and we accompany people through difficult parts of life. I think we try to behave like Daniel, where we continue to embrace the practices of our faith and to stand together in prayer or kneel at an airport in prayer and bow our heads and our hearts and rest our hands and open up our hearts to God. I think that we participate. I think we participate in life. And we offer to others the bread of life. Not the fancy food of kings, but pieces from a humble and honest loaf, and drink from fruit that was grown on the ground that our Creator created and has entrusted to us. I think that we name God and we honor God and we teach God to our children and to our neighbors and to the people around us so that they might too know the life-giving blessing of being called children of the living God. I think the book of Daniel might be a little scary for us to read and to process. And I also think it's worth it, that the wisdom within it is worth it. It's an opportunity to be inspired by the young, to hear of how dedication to learning paid off, to consider how we too could follow in line while still honoring God. That's why I think the book of Daniel is a gift to us, because we've been entrusted with the words of God. Just like in Jeremiah. It's verses 23 and 25, but we'll have to find the book. Anyway, in Jeremiah it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. When I bring them back from captivity, the people in the land of Judah and in its towns will once again use these words. The Lord bless you, you prosperous city, you sacred mountain. People will live together in Judah and all its towns, farmers and those who move about with their flocks. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. The Lord God said, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint." Dear friends, may you be refreshed when you are weary, and may God satisfy you when you grow faint. And may you know the protection of angels when the world around you tries to burn you up. And may the mouths of all that could harm you be made silent. With God's help, may it be so this day and always. Amen.